Hey, leaders and visionaries. Welcome to the Untamed Mind Podcast. I'm your host, Bree Johnson. I'm thrilled to be your guide as we dig into conscious leadership and personal growth. Our mission is simple: help you reconnect with your authentic self, untamed from who others taught you to be, and unleash the leader within. So whether you're a leader looking to deepen your impact or an individual yearning for greater fulfillment and joy, the Untamed Mind is your mentor on the path to becoming your true self. Welcome to the Untamed Mind Podcast. I'm your host, Bree Johnson. I am opening today's podcast with another Dear Untamed Work Wife listener write-in, and I wanted to share this with you. It is such an important topic and consideration. And so this person wrote in, "Dear Untamed Work Wife, I want to leave my job because my boss is making me miserable, but I love my work. How will I know it's time to leave? Signed, Misery Loves Company in Colorado." Dear Misery Loves Company, this is such an important conversation to have. And I think there are a lot of maybe guides, gurus, consultants, coaches who will offer the perspective that you need to get out now. If you're feeling so miserable and you're at a point where your physical health may be taking a hit, often this looks like extreme stress. It can look like depression, anxiety. You know, if all of those things are coming up for you because you're in a really bad, harmful, or toxic work environment, people may offer you the advice or perspective to leave that environment and do it as soon as possible. And I guess I'm going to offer a little bit of a more nuanced response to this, because I think what's missing from those types of conversations and the knee-jerk, you need to leave now, responses is the financial well-being of you, potentially of your family, and how important financial well-being is. And it's really as important, and it simply represents the other side of the coin to your emotional well-being at work. I believe that if you were to leave and it were to cause significant financial hardship for your family, that might not represent a win for your nervous system. That might not represent a win for your overall health or how you're able to show up for your family. If your new stress that's layered on, maybe you remove the stress of the work and the role and that awful boss that you're working with. But if you introduce the new stress of financial hardship, especially in this economy and in some of the labor and work trends that are happening, it can be really difficult. So it's such an important consideration to ask yourself and really know your numbers about how long can your family and can you sustain being out of work? You know, when there are tech companies and just so many Fortune 500 companies going through major layoffs, the word is that it's very difficult for people to find new jobs. And so this is a very important consideration, is how many months of reserves do you have that if you're not able to replace your income, if you get denied for unemployment benefits because you quit and they don't, and your state may not recognize the fact that you're leaving due to a toxic workplace as a reason for giving you benefits, if the number that you bring into your household is zero, how will that feel? How will you juggle the realities of the other expenses that you and your family need to pay for? And I think when a person is in a particularly difficult situation or environment, there may come a point where there's no turning back. You cannot unsee what someone has done, the harm that they have caused, and you need to get out and have an approach to figure it out after the fact. And I think that that is admirable as well. And I absolutely believe that there are situations that warrant that. One of the caveats that I want to give when I think through many, many people that I have consulted with when I was an employment attorney, as they held out hope that they'd be able to hold their employer accountable and would get financial money compensation by filing a claim or, you know, going after their employer once they leave. And the reality is that there are very narrow claims that employees who've left businesses can make. And those claims, even if there's a viable claim there, something like sexual harassment, discrimination, wrongful termination, it's going to take months before you ever see a penny of settlement and or money that may come to you only if you are successful in bringing a claim. And so one of the most dire or sort of painful situations that people found themselves in is they reached their breaking point in the workplace, and maybe they quit on the spot. They gave their 2 weeks notice and then they left, called up our law firm and said, "Hey, I quit my job and I want to go after my employer now." And it just isn't true that things like bullying or even, you know, toxic kind of bad behavior that is often rampant in workplaces rises to the level of having a claim against an employer. So this financial component becomes really important against this backdrop, because there's this notion that employees are going to get money after the fact, whether that's in the form of a settlement for harm they feel they've experienced in the workplace. Maybe they feel at times that they can negotiate a after-the-fact severance agreement, which is very unlikely that that is a possibility. And then there's also the benefits that some people rely on, like unemployment benefits, thinking that, oh, if I quit my job, I'll be eligible for unemployment benefits. And in most cases, that's not true. I'm not going to speak to any specifics here because, as I've mentioned, my role here is not to give legal advice, but I think it's really important to kind of unschool and debunk some of the common myths that exist. And so I share all this because the financial consideration is such a big one to whether it's time for you to put in your notice and leave the company that you're at. And it's one that can't be overstated and overlooked, because I just truly believe that the stress from financial challenges can be as painful as the challenges that may be present in the workplace. The other thing that I think becomes a really important part of considering whether you want to leave, and I don't know, I wish there was a better phrase that I could think of, but I really am thinking of, you know, considering for this individual to consider whether there is a more moderate in between that might not look like walking away from the role or the job or the company. But is there something, some action that can be taken, work with HR, file a protected report if there is really unlawful behavior that's at play here? Is there some act that can happen maybe within the company so that it's not walking away? And I only mention this because I think there is the possibility that the leader who is causing you harm may not even realize that they're doing it. And so maybe there's some way that there can be kind of a mediated or a restorative process that can be initiated within the company. I say that knowing full well that that is not the reality in a lot of organizations. And I think a lot of companies are really, they will respond to that. And a leader, right, who, you know, if you go around that person up to the next level, let's say to the CEO or the director of HR, your boss that you feel is making your life miserable is probably going to react. And that's just such a testament to the ego and defensiveness that exists in so many leaders, because we're not equipping leaders of today with conscious leadership skills that are open to feedback and open to listening and to, you know, really receive and sit with that type of information. So I wanted to offer that as a medium point. And then I think the other important consideration for you being in this position where you're just miserable is to, you know, really reflect on the cost to your mental well-being, to your physical well-being of staying in the role. And if at all possible, seeking to line something else up so that you're not entering the labor market and having to put out applications and have that stress, you know, of being unemployed, if that's not something that's feasible for your family. Because I do think for many people, there reaches a point where you just can't take anymore. Enough is enough. You've seen too much. Maybe that looks like, you know, they are harassing you for taking PTO, or your boundaries aren't being respected, or you're constantly, you know, feeling like you're bearing the brunt of excess workload that is not yours because someone else is not kind of carrying their roles and responsibilities. So there's any variation for why it may be time to leave. And I guess what I want to say on that point is when you've reached that point and you recognize the cost to your mental and physical well-being is too great, that the 2 weeks is a courtesy. I think there's some weird feedback, I guess, or just sentiments out there that it's required. And most states, interestingly, have put in place protections that say, you know, former employers are only allowed to speak to the dates of employment and the title and role that you may be held at a former employer. And so they're recognizing that employees leave for all sorts of situations and reasons. And so this idea that, you know, if I give less than 2 weeks notice, for example, if I just absolutely cannot handle anymore and it is causing such significant stress that I just need to get out, that you do not need to, it is not a like an actual requirement to give more, to give 2 weeks notice, to give more than 2 weeks notice. And I think it is, you know, a lot of people have an experience where they try to do the kind-hearted thing and stay in a role for much longer to support the transition for the next person coming in. And it is a thankless task. It's almost as though no good deed goes unpunished, because the stories of people who are then, you know, it's just not a helpful situation for the person in that. And then the employer is looking for reasons to sometimes make these people's life miserable. And so I think the moral of the story and both, you know, my own experiences, as well as what I've heard from many others, is at most the departure time should be 2 weeks. Just draws it out and makes it more difficult for everyone if it's longer than that. So those are a few points to consider. And I just offer so much empathy for anyone who's dealing with a really miserable work situation, because when it transfers to just being sort of overwhelming and stressful and into something that feels like you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel, I think that's when it may be time to look elsewhere, while recognizing that some diligence on the financial side is really important to help equip you with all the information that you can have before you depart your current employer. So with that, misery loves company. I hope you were able to continue the work that you love and find a company that will better respect your talents and a boss who will be a much more conscious leader and guide you on your career journey so that you are less miserable and have more joy and motivation in your work. Thank you for joining us on the Untamed Mind podcast. I'm your host, Bree Johnson. Remember, the journey to becoming more authentically you looks like a steadfast commitment to your values and to untaming your mind. Stay tuned for inspiring conversations, practical tips, and a roadmap to a more balanced and joyful life. Until then, keep on thriving.